The chief of the Sugar Regulatory Administration is the latest to quit over the import order controversy. We'll discuss the issue with the chairperson of the House Committee on Public Accountability, Congresswoman Florida Robes. Senator Risa Ontiveros seeking a probe into all transactions undertaken by the procurement service of the Department of Budget and Management. Think tank Ibon Foundation calling on the Philippine Statistics Authority to update its poverty metrics. And China conducts new military drills around Taiwan in response to the visit by another U.S. congressional delegation to the island. Hi, I'm Carmina Consentino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with the latest fallout from the sugar importation mess. The head of the Sugar Regulatory Administration resigns days after the controversy broke. Our very own Jervis Manahano joins us with details. Jervis, what more can you tell us?
Yes, good noon, Carmina. The Administrator of Sugar Regulatory Administration, Hermenegildo Serafica, has resigned from his post. In a letter dated August 15, Executive Secretary Vic Rodriguez has accepted his resignation in behalf of President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. It was indicated in the letter that Serafica resigned on August 10, a day before Agriculture Secretary Leocadio Sebastian did. Serafica confirmed his resignation but declined to give further comment on the matter. He even appeared on a hearing in the House of Representatives yesterday where he gave a briefing on the sugar situation in the country. Serafica is one of the signatories of the controversial sugar importation order rejected by the President. Other signatories, Attorney Roland Beltran and Agriculture Undersecretary Leocadio Sebastian, who signed for the President, also has tendered their resignations. The other signatory, Aurelio Gerardo Valderrama, is yet to give comment. Meanwhile, the palace has confirmed the resignations. Press Secretary Trixie Angeles said they confirmed the acceptance of the resignation of SRA Administrator Mr. Hermenegildo Serafica, as well as the resignation of Attorney Roland Beltran of the Sugar Regulatory Board. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Jervis Manahan there joining us on the line. And back here in the newsroom, President Marcos taps a former agriculture secretary to replace one of the officials who resigned over the sugar importation mess. Domingo Panganiban will take the post of Undersecretary Leocadio Sebastian. Panganiban previously served as agriculture chief of Marcos's father and was a known proponent of the Masagana 99 rice program. Sebastian faced House lawmakers Monday, where he defended his decision to sign the sugar import order without the president's consent.
There is a clear indication of the rapidly diminishing supply of sugar. Current supply is projected to run out in August 2022, this month, and end of crop year 2021-2022. The total annual deficit is attributable to low farm productivity, small farm sizes, and low sugar milling efficiency, among others. And for this year, there is an effect of tight bono debt and the high prices of fertilizer.
Prior to the House probe, Roland Beltran, another official of the Sugar Regulatory Administration Board, also resigned. President Marcos met with food manufacturers to discuss ways to solve the sugar supply shortage. Marcos vowed to put systems in place to manage price increases and ensure businesses will keep running. The meeting came a day after Marcos said the Philippines would likely import 100,000 metric tons of sugar in October when supply falls. That plan, though, was being opposed by agriculture workers. A group said importing sugar in October would only lead to lower farm gate prices since it is the start of the milling season. It adds no aid has been given by government yet to help farmers cope with high prices of fertilizer. The Luzon Federation of Sugar, meanwhile, says importation of refined sugar should be open to accredited traders and its use should not be confined to any specific sector. Right, for more on the House hearing on the sugar importation mess, we're now joined by the chairperson of the House Committee on Public Accountability, Congresswoman Florida Robes. Congresswoman Robes, good morning to you. or good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today. Nice to talk to you again.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and thank you for inviting me for this phone touch. Good afternoon.
So yesterday you just had a briefing, right? And was it in that same briefing where Mr. Sebastian sort of defended his action and justified his action to sign for the president?
No, actually, he just mentioned everything about the status of the sugar industry and all. Mm-hmm. And, when he made a lot of statements that day, yesterday, about the status of all. And, of course, with his authority as a USEC.
Mm-mm. And that authority now is sort of at the center as well of this whole controversy. There are reports stating that he was actually authorized to sign contracts and agreements. What is your take on this? And do you think he really had the authority to sign that importation order?
If there is a memorandum circular or an executive order about that, it still has to be consulted to the chairman, and the chairman is the president. They tell them to see the president, and they should have been taken out. So I believe that there will be no reaction like this if they have consulted the president. Mm.
And that, to a lot of people, is curious, given that the president is the Secretary of Agriculture and they meet almost, you know, very frequently. Why couldn't have the undersecretary then? Why couldn't he have had a meeting with the president to talk about this very important document and very important importation?
That is exactly the same that we are thinking. On Monday, we will do an investigation. We will be starting the investigation in the aid of legislation. So then we will know.
And so from the briefing that you had yesterday, Congresswoman Robes, what to you are the clear questions that need to be answered by all the resource persons that you will be inviting to the hearing?
First, why are you pushing through with the SO number 4, which is not approved by the president? Second, what is your authority on doing that? And third, is there a pressure in coming up with this resolution? Or, SO number 4.
Mm-mm. And when you talk about the pressure, would you know something about that, that there may be parties that may have been pressuring the officials who signed that document, Congresswoman?
That I cannot answer, because on Monday we have to say everything in detail.
Mm-hmm. And will you be inviting SRA Administrator Hermenegildo Serafico, who just resigned this morning, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Even though he just resigned, he is still obliged to join us in the committee. Mm-hmm. If ever there will be an invitation to him on Monday, mm-hmm. although he have attended yesterday, despite of his resignation last August, as you have mentioned.
Mm-mm. And also, USEC Sebastian will be appearing as well.
He has to, because he did a lot of, he started this thing all, so he has to.
Mm-hmm. From the briefing yesterday, Congresswoman Robes, do you think it was just a matter of misunderstanding, or do you think that something more sinister is behind this?
It's actually, I could say both. One is misunderstanding or going beyond the borders.
Mm.
The border line is actually, it's thin. You should not do that as a USEC, because you have a chairman, you have a secretary, and he happens to be the president of the country. Mm. Kahit hindi pa po presidente, si presidenta ating chairman, well, we have to discuss it out, mm-hmm. wherever it is.
Pero meron nga daw pong pero paano po kung ibigay niya sa inyo bilang justification ito pong memo na nagsasaad na meron siyang kapangyarihan na pumirma at mag-authorize?
It's still not an excuse. Hindi po yun ay magbibigay daan para gawin niya ito, dahil nakakapag-usap naman siya sa ating pangulo. Kung sino man po ang kanyang boss, maaaring hindi ang ating pangulo. Kahit saan departamento, dapat kung ikaw ay merong boss, dapat nakikipag-usap ka at tinatanong mo ito ng matuwid bilang isang subordinate.
Mm-hmm.
So doon po natin malalaman kung ano talaga ang mga nangyari, kasi hindi po tayo makapag-conclude pa sa ngayon.
Okay.
Because yesterday was just a briefing of all. Lahat po ng he said, lahat po ng kanyang sinabi ay aming pong pinakinggan. At sa lunes po ay malalaman po po natin ang mga detalye para dito.
Opo, Congresswoman Robes po, dun sa briefing po na nangyari kahapon, klaro ho ba sa inyo na maraming kailangan ayusin dito po sa sistema, dyan po sa SRA, gayon na rin po sa Department of Agriculture, Congresswoman?
Yes, naniniwala ako doon. Na mere fact na naupo po ang ating Pangulo bilang kalihim, alam niya na maraming problema doon. At yun po ay nagbibigay simbolo na dapat ito po ay tulungan po namin siya sa pag-aayos nito dahil lumabas nga po yung mga ganitong storya na hindi po karapat-dapat at mga gawain na ilang beses na nila pong inuulit. At sana po ay mabigyan din po ang kalagayan po ng mga mahirap, lalo na po ang magsasaka at ang ating mga laborers.
Mm. Let's go to that signature, that now famous signature of Leocadio Sebastian signing for the president. Do you get the perception, Congresswoman Robes, that he has done this before?
Yes, because there are two there's an executive order, and there's also a memorandum circular. I don't want to say fully yes, but with yung sa kanyang paggawa, ano po, nito ay parang walang patumanggang pagpirma ay sa akin po ay maaari po na nagawa niya na po ito, pero maaaring ito po ay sinasang-ayunan ng mga nakaraang kalihim o secretaries. I'm not sure about it, but let me dig on it on Monday because we really have to check on all the files and folders or the portfolio of Mr. Sebastian.
Opo, kasi meron din pong mga naniniwala, Congresswoman Robes, na parang nakagisnan ba? Parang yun po ang pahiwatig nitong mga naririnig natin ano, at nakikita natin. Parang nakagisnan na ganun ang sistema.
Opo, yun po ay pagpapabaya. Kaya nga po yung ating mga farmers, yung ating mga magsasaka kasama po ng mga millers, yung iba po ay nag-react, yung iba naman po ay talaga nagagalit, lalo na po sa mga sa Visayan regions. No? Dahil nandun po talaga yung bulk ng supply. So, kasi pag, let's face it po, ang ating pong crop season ay from September to August. Ngayon po'y August. So, ibig sabihin po, mag-harvest na po tayo ngayong susunod na buwan at magsisimula na mag-process from cane sugar to raw at magiging refined sugar na po ito. So, what I'm telling is, dalawa po kasi ang klase ng sugar. One is the raw and the one is the refined. So, sa report po ng PSA at ng iba pong mga ahensya na amin pong na pag-aralan po so in a very short span of time, sufficiente naman po ang sugar, lalo na po ngayon na magkakaroon po tayo ng harvesting. Kaya lang, meron pong sinasabi sa refined sugar. So doon po natin malalaman kung ano pa ba ang kulang at anong ilang metric tons na kailangan. Doon po pumapasok ang Pangulo. Kasi ayaw po na mawala ng hanap buhay, ayaw po ng ating Pangulo na mawala ng hanap buhay ang ating mga producers, ito po local producers o magsasaka.
It's quite disheartening to a lot of people, Congresswoman Robes, and I don't know if you agree that the plight and the future of our sugar farmers and millers and that whole sector is dependent on the actions of a few. Parang nakakapanghina po.
Exactly. That's why we are here right now, and we will be defending the universe, not only who did it right, but we will check on everything, every detail that we will be discovering and try to correct things out. Mm-hmm. That is the reason why on Monday and Tuesday and the following day, we will be inviting people from various agencies and constitutional commissions to help us to act on this also.
And to aid to aid you, right? And in your desire to help the president sort things out and help him along, what pieces of legislation do you have in mind that could hopefully help the process along and protect the sector?
Okay, last Congress, I have this bill. It is actually to bring back the pre-audit thing. Because before, in all procurement, there is this pre-audit and post-audit. Nawala po yung pre-audit, ang meron na lang po ay yung post-audit. So hindi po nakikita along the way ang process. At the same time, we have to really strengthen the plan and control in each agency. This is about the policy. So, kasi doon nagkakaroon ng problema eh. The authorizer is very good, maganda, malinis ang kanyang kahangarin. At the same, pero nagkakaproblema pagdating sa pag-i-implement, dahil nawawala ang control.
How would you address the reports that there are possible syndicates within?
Oh, that I have to see on Monday because we're working on the research. Until Friday, we're going to sit down for this because I really can't stay for now.
Mm-mm.
I'm not in the authority yet. That's the reason why I just said it was a briefing yesterday.
Mm-mm.
It was just a briefing, so everybody should know that we are working here hand-in-hand with the government, with the president, and of course, all of us in Congress would like to come up with the truth.
Congresswoman Florida Robles there joining us this afternoon. We appreciate you taking our call. Thanks again. Take care and you keep safe.
All right. Thank you so much, and Carmina, and see you then. Bye.
All right. Back here in the newsroom, Senator Risa Ontiveros wants the Senate to look into all of the procurements carried out by the Budget Department's procurement service on behalf of other government agencies. Ontiveros hopes the Blue Ribbon Committee will again call on former PSDBM officials like Lloyd Christopher Lau to explain their actions. Lau was also in charge of the procurement agency when it was implicated in the Health Department's alleged overpriced purchase of medical supplies from formerly pharmaceuticals. The PSDBM is back in the spotlight due to the overpriced and outdated laptops that government purchased for teachers.
Mukhang maraming mga ahensya pa ang nadamay sa mga practices ng PSDBM. In fact, the characters from formerly seem to be reprising their kontrabida roles. Issue after issue in regarding PSDBM, mukhang lumalabas na yung grupo talaga niya ay lagit-laging nababanggit. Kung hindi man siya mismo, pero yung mga kagrupo ni dating Yusek Lau. I can't even tell you right now where he is, no? Kasi nag-disappear siya mula sa formal investigations. Hindi pa kami tapos noon. Pinaghahanap siya ng PNP sa Cebu, sa Davao, sa iba pang mga probinsya. Hindi na talaga siya nagpakita.
And in this latest issue, the PSDBM has suspended its procurement of non-common use supplies and equipment until further notice. In other news, education agencies here in the Philippines taken aback by the sudden closure of Colegio de San Lorenzo. The Commission on Higher Education says the school may have failed to reach its target number of enrollees, forcing it to fold. As for the education department, it said the college did not inform them of their plans to close.
Last week lang sila nakipag-usap sa KNCR officials namin. Kaya kami din nabigla at nagpatawag ako ng meeting kahapon at mamaya mag-uusap ulit kung ano ang pwedeng gawin para tulungan ang mga estudyante na apektado.
Kami po ngayon ay magta-try na lang makipag-coordinate. Sana po may mga ganyang private schools pa na lalapit para masabi sa atin kung ma-absorb nila yung mga estudyante. Yun. Regarding naman po dun sa closure mismo, I think we'll have to study kung ano ba talaga yung pag ganyang biglang nagsasara yung private schools, ano ba yung kung meron bang sanctions o wala na maipapataw ang Department of Education.
A Philippine lawmaker also wants to ensure a smooth process for displaced Colegio de San Lorenzo students as they transfer to other schools.
It's very important. Dapat hindi yung bigla na mag-decide na lang isasara at the time when they are supposed to open, doon pa nila mali ang timing, kumbaga. Hindi tama yun. Dapat may sufficient notice sana. Gusto namin gawin, matulungan namin ang mga magulang at mga estudyante na makalipat sila sa ibang school. At kung kailangan, kausapin namin itong mga school na ito para i-accept yung mga estudyante at yung kanilang bayad ay didiretso na manggagaling sa Colegio de San Lorenzo.
The Colegio de San Lorenzo in Quezon City officially announced its permanent closure Monday, the same day it was supposed to start classes for the school year, drawing outrage from students and parents. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the UK becomes the first country to approve an updated Moderna vaccine targeting the Omicron variant. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back. There's still a Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The chief of the Sugar Regulatory Administration is the latest to quit over the import order controversy. Senator Risa Ontiveros seeking a probe into all transactions undertaken by the Procurement Service of the Department of Budget and Management. Think tank Ibon Foundation calling on the Philippine Statistics Authority to update its poverty metrics. And China conducts new military drills around Taiwan in response to the visit by another U.S. congressional delegation to the island. The Philippine Justice Department indicts 16 individuals, including several nuns, for alleged terrorism financing. The non-bailable charges were filed with the Regional Trial Court of Iligan City. The Justice Department says the accused failed to submit their counter-affidavits during the preliminary investigation stage. The nuns are members of the Rural Missionaries of the Philippines, a national church-based organization. The allegations against them are based on testimonies of two supposed former communist rebels, one of whom claims to be a former finance officer of the church-based group. The Anti-Money Laundering Council earlier investigated the organization. The Court of Appeals then ordered the freezing of the group's bank accounts in 2020. Justice Secretary Crispin Aboyang-Rumulla expected to discuss the country's human rights situation with visiting U.S. Senator Ed Markey. The Justice Department says the two will meet this week, but provided no further details. The Democrat lawmaker from Massachusetts is a vocal critic of the Duterte administration's war on drugs. Markey joined 10 other U.S. senators last year in urging the Biden administration to condemn alleged human rights abuses in the Philippines. The Philippines logged over 28,000 COVID infections during the second week of August. The country also averaged 4,000 daily cases from August 8 to 14. That's up by 3% from the week before that. But the new figures showed improved numbers in the country's positivity rate, which fell from 18.7 to 18.1%. ABS-CBN News data analytics head, however, warned this doesn't mean the threat of the virus has waned.
Kailangan sustained dapat yung mga nakikita nating improvement sa numbers through time, no? Hindi lang isang araw, dalawang araw, kailangan at least 1 to 2 weeks of monitoring. Hindi lang sa positivity rate, hindi lang sa cases, kundi marami din tayong ibang mga numbers na titingnan. Especially yung ating healthcare utilization rate, dapat tingnan din natin, as well as yung mga severe and critical admissions. So napakaraming ibang numbers na ating kailangan bantayan.
The health department seeking to ramp up the country's COVID vaccination coverage ahead of the opening of classes next week.
Sa Department of Education, hikayatin pa rin natin siyempre ang ating mga magulang para pabakunahan ng mga bata. Let's have safety officers in our schools and let's follow the minimum public health standards.
Over 20 million COVID vaccine doses have gone to waste in the Philippines. That admission coming from the Health Department during Monday's Senate Health Panel hearing. The figure makes up 8.42% of the country's total procured jabs. Senator Risa Ontiveros called out the agency for its inefficient vaccine administration. The DOH officer in charge, Maria Rosario Vergara, says they are now working on ways to avoid this.
To prevent further wastage in the future, we have analyzed our current stocks and how we are consuming. So we have different scenarios that we have identified for which, based on the scenarios, we are not going to procure anymore any of the vaccines until the end of the year. Based from our estimates, with the first booster shots and the second booster shots, and based on the uptake of vaccines right now, we will have enough for us to reach our targets.
Latest data show more than 90% of the government's target population have completed their primary COVID vaccine series, but booster uptake remains low. The Philippine government needs to ensure the readiness of vaccine manufacturers to apply for a certificate of product registration. That reminder from Joey Concepcion, member of the Private Sector Advisory Council, comes as the COVID-induced state of calamity expires in September. Government has yet to announce if it will no longer extend the declaration. See, doing so would end the validity of the emergency use authorization granted to COVID jabs and medications.
Ang isang importante dyan is that yung mga vaccine manufacturers na are bringing the vaccines here, are they going to file for a certificate of product registration? No, importante yan for us, for the public to be able to buy the vaccines, or will the government continue to buy the vaccines? So if the government will continue to buy the vaccines, then they may have to issue an emergency use EUA, no? Yeah. So it depends, no? At whatever it is, I think the government can always, we can still remove the public state of health emergency. Ang tingin ko, I would support that. Because even countries na tumataas sa mga kaso, wala naman public state of health emergency.
The UK becomes the first country to approve an updated Moderna vaccine that targets the Omicron COVID variant. It will be used as booster shots for adults. According to Britain's drug regulator, the updated vaccine generated a strong immune response against Omicron as well as the original 2020 strain. The drug regulator also says the vaccine showed a good immune response against other Omicron subvariants. The approval comes as highly transmissible Omicron variants have been driving waves of infections in many parts of the world. Back here at home, an economic think tank says the Philippine Statistics Authority's poverty metrics are outdated. For 2021, the PSA determined that 12,030 pesos is the amount needed per month for a family of five to pay for their food and other basic needs. But Ibon Foundation believes the PSA did not take into account recent price changes in non-food items. It adds the PSA metrics are likely influenced by government measures and not the economy as a whole.
We think it's a very low ambition target for poverty reduction. The improvement between 2015 and 2018 wasn't because the economy was creating enough jobs, enough decent work. The biggest reason for the big reduction in poverty in 2015 to 2018, the previous poverty period, was because there was an almost 7,000 peso increase in the four-piece budget. But again, we're not seeing that same increase between 2018 and 2021, aggravated by, you know, misguided, overlong lockdowns, especially because there was no more social amelioration program subsidies in 2021.
In its latest report released Monday, the PSA said poverty incidence rose to 18.1% in 2021, which is equivalent to 19.9 million poor Filipinos. That's up from the 16.7% recorded in 2018. The Philippine Budget Department releases 1.4 billion pesos to continue funding the free bus ride program along EDSA. Budget Secretary Amina Pangandaman said that will benefit over 600 bus units and support up to 50 million passengers from September 1st to December 31st. The free ride program at the EDSA busway was supposed to end July 31st, but President Marcos ordered its extension until the end of the year. Operators have claimed they have not been paid for their service for 2 months. Frutas Holdings not feeling the pinch of inflation yet. The company says it has implemented tactical price increases in patties and fruit juices.
We are currently monitoring prices of sugar as we have seen in the news, right? There's potentially a shortage because of the import. But we haven't really seen it impact our cost of goods. As you would know, some of our best SKUs or best-selling SKUs do not use sugar. The same thing for baked goods. We are not pricing them as low as your local bakery. We are slowly moving to higher value-added products such as donuts and cakes.
Frutas also seeing a good start to the third quarter, exceeding expectations in what is normally a weaker period. The company is confident the momentum will be sustained till year-end. In fact, they're looking to add 40 to 50 more kiosks this year on top of the 20 kiosks added in the second quarter. Taking another break now, still ahead, China sends warplanes and Navy planes across the Taiwan Strait after another visit by U.S. lawmakers. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. And we're back with more news. We have this just in. Voting 12 to 2, the House Committee on Suffrage votes to postpone the December 5, 2022 Barangay and Sangguniang Kabataan elections. The House panel set a new date for the said polls. That's the first Monday of December 2023. The panel said incumbents shall serve until their successors have been elected. The winners of the 2023 Barangay and Sangguniang Kabataan elections will begin their terms on January 1, 2024 for a period of 3 years. World News Now, China conducts fresh military drills around Taiwan following a visit by another U.S. congressional delegation to the island. The Chinese Defense Ministry said the drills are a response and a deterrent against collusion and provocation by the U.S. and Taiwan. The five-member delegation led by Democratic Senator Ed Markey met with Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen and Foreign Minister Joseph Wu to reaffirm America's support for Taiwan. The American lawmakers reportedly left Monday night. The unannounced trip came after Beijing sent warships, missiles, and jets into the waters and skies around Taiwan in response to U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's visit earlier this month. A national holiday in Afghanistan as the Taliban marks the first anniversary of their return to power. The hardline Islamists captured Kabul on August 15, 2021, ending 20 years of U.S.-led military intervention. The takeover followed days of chaos as tens of thousands of people rushed to the Kabul airport, hoping to get out of the country. According to the United Nations, Afghanistan is becoming the world's largest humanitarian crisis, with more than half of its 38 million people facing extreme poverty and hunger. The rights of women have also been stifled as they are barred from going to secondary school and holding government jobs. Despite repeated calls from the international community to improve the situation, the Taliban have failed to deliver. Detained Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, given a 6-year jail term by a Myanmar junta court, she was found guilty in 4 cases of corruption. The 77-year-old pro-democracy leader has already been sentenced to 11 years in jail for corruption, incitement against the military, and breaking a telecommunications law. Suu Kyi's lawyers have been banned from speaking to the media. She has been detained since Myanmar's generals toppled her government in a coup February 1st last year. The U.S. describes the latest sentence handed to Suu Kyi as an affront to justice and the rule of law. 10 Filipino-Canadian artists showcased the pieces they created during COVID lockdowns in an exhibit presented by the Filipino Music and Arts Foundation. We have this report from Rowena Papasin.
A serenade of a well-loved Filipino classic from opera singer Jeremiah Carag set the tone for the one-week-only art exhibit of Filipino-Canadian artists at the Roundhouse Community Arts Center in Vancouver. This marks the return of the annual Pagtitipon Art Exhibit since its last event in 2019 and featured some of the paintings and art installations created by the artists during the COVID-19 lockdown.
And we come back to a world that has changed so much. But even during the challenges brought about by the pandemic, the spirit and the heart of the Filipino community shines even brighter.
Most of the featured artists have gotten recognition from international art bodies and have exhibited their work in different parts of the world. The lockdown has affected each of the artists differently, with some enjoying time at home and others finding the lockdown a challenge.
With the pandemic, gave me so much time to work on my art.
It has affected my work so much because while my husband was working from home and my son was doing his learning online, I had to also keep doing my art.
The two artists were able to create stunning artwork from this period. For visual artist Chito Maravilla, he wanted his work to peel away the heaviness of the pandemic.
It's more of an outlet, and I, to my paintings, I try to put positivity. So I try to make it whimsical and have the kind of like documenting the simple joys.
Guests were intrigued by an art installation called Cultural Scab, done by the youngest artist in the group, Kiana Hipolito.
This is about beauty standards based in colonization, especially in Philippine culture. So it's supposed to represent skin and the whitening and process and whitening of skin.
Non-Filipino patrons were amazed at the various art styles from the Filipino artists.
So it's very nice to see Southeast Asians being able to express themselves, be able to share their culture and their experience.
Before the night ended, a patron bought one of the watercolor works of artist Broderick Wong.
It's a beautifully done watercolor, but it really resonates what Vancouver is all about. It represents the beach where I used to be live by, so it's just spectacular.
Dixon, who is the partner of Goldilocks Canada Managing Director Maj Yi, lauded the exhibit, which he described as a well-rounded collage of different styles. Multi-awarded Filipino-Canadian printmaker Lenore R.S. Lim, whose etchings also graced the exhibit, thanked the Philippine Consulate in Vancouver for continuing to encourage and support Filipino-Canadian artists. Rowena Papasin, ABS-CBN News, Vancouver.
Back here at home, the health department records a slight dip in COVID-19 cases in central Visayas. Annie Perez now joins us with that story. Annie, what more can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, the Department of Health in central Visayas has logged fewer new cases in comparison to last week, its latest health bulletin confirmed. They have recorded 1,072 new cases, bringing the average daily case rate at 153. The statement of the health department said that this is 14% lower than the they released from July 31 to August 7. Out of the new cases logged, 7 were severe and critical, while 10 individuals also died within the last week. The intensive care unit capacity of Central Visayas has no significant change at 32.32%. However, there are 47 admitted patients. Despite the start of this downtrend, Carmina, the health department is still working to double time to achieve targets for the vaccination rollout. The director, Jaime Bernadas, revealed that for the senior citizen group, they were only able to vaccinate 60% or roughly 400,000 individuals out of their target. That is 600,000. For booster shots, they are still at 20% or 600,000 individuals, which is very far from their target of 3 million eligible persons. Bernadas also said that they are now doing caravans and showing to the public that inoculation is safe because until now, they are still facing problems of vaccine hesitancy. Meanwhile, they are also starting to administer booster shots for children aged 12 to 17, and also for the 5 to 11 age group. And that's the latest here from Central Visayas. Annie Perez, ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot, Annie. Take care and keep safe. Well, hundreds of fans gather in California to show their full support for their favorite Capamilia stars. Our very own Steve Angeles tells us more.
The Capamilia stars weren't the only ones shining bright at the Saban Theater, as fandoms also came in strong with glow sticks, posters, banners, and cutouts. Hundreds of fans eagerly filled up the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills for the third and final leg of the Star Magic Beyond the Stars U.S. tour.
Finally, after this pandemic, we can't wait for this. And I guess we're starting now.
Yes, we're excited. We just see them on TV, so we're really excited to see them in person.
Other fans got a head start in greeting their favorite stars. Fans of the Don Bell Love Team showered Donnie Pangilinan and Belle Mariano with gifts and flowers as soon as they arrived in their hotel lobby late Saturday night. The stars were beyond words as they celebrated the final number. getting up close and personal with fans. For many of the stars, this was the first time doing a live TFC event in the U.S.
Sobrang higit pa sa blessed yung feeling ko ngayon, yung warm welcome ng mga tao. Ay, wala, pamilya talaga.
It is an amazing feeling to be here in LA with my Star Magic family. This is just the start.
It is everything that I imagined, and I had fun.
The Los Angeles stop hit close to home for Kyle Achari, who grew up in Southern California.
For someone that grew up here, he went to the Philippines with a dream, and be able to come back and perform here means a lot.
Michelle Munoz from Saudi Arabia had a whirlwind adventure. The flight attendant flew to Florida to catch Zanjo Marrudo at a TFC hour of a Filipino event. She then went to the San Francisco show on Friday before being called up on stage at the Los Angeles show to join her favorite star.
Thankful lang eh, kasi parang ang saya lang ng buong experience. Hindi ko pa siya ma-process ngayon, pero yun, thankful lang sa lahat.
The magic will last beyond this three-concert U.S. tour, as many of the stars already have planned events and concerts, ready to bring even more magic to our loyal Kapamilya. Steve Angeles, ABS-CBN News, Beverly Hills.
As we reported, the House Committee on Suffrage votes to postpone the December 5 Barangay and Sangguniang Kabataan elections. RG Cruz now on the line to tell us more about this. RG, what was the reason behind this?
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon. Voting 12 to 2, the House of Representatives Committee on Suffrage and Election Reforms has voted to postpone the December 5, 2022 Barangay and Sangguniang Kabataan elections. During the organizational meeting of the panel Tuesday, the committee picked the first Monday of December 2023 as the new date for the elections, thus postponing the election for a year. The panel likewise voted to include in the bill that the winners of the 2023 election shall begin their terms on January 1, 2024 for a period of 3 years. The panel also decided that the incumbents shall serve till their successors have been elected and qualified unless they are removed for cause. And that's what we have right now. We'll give you more details as soon as they are available. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. RJ Cruz there joining us on the line. And back here in the studio, the Philippines' Jollibee, hailed as the best fried chicken chain in America by U.S.-based food website Eater. It bested over a dozen food brands that serve fried chicken in the U.S., including Popeyes, KFC, and Burger King. The homegrown fast food chain has 84 locations across North America and over 1,500 restaurants worldwide. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Consentino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.